Long hot summers are lovely, but winter can be long and hard for your boiler. That's why you should book an expert boiler service today. You'll only pay £74, down from £99, and with your boiler sorted, you'll feel so much more relaxed knowing you're ready for whatever winter throws your way. Save in summer so you're sorted in winter. Book a boiler service today. Search British Gas Boiler Service. Geographical restrictions, terms and exclusions apply. Offer ends 4th of September 2023.
Say goodbye to the dish and hello to Sky Stream, the streaming box that works over Wi-Fi. It's the new way to get unmissable Sky shows, Netflix and Discovery Plus together in one simple subscription. And right now, you can get all this amazing TV with a 1 month free trial on us. Sky Stream, TV simplified. Head to sky.com to start your trial. Requires Sky TV and third-party subscriptions. £29 per month for month 2 on a rolling contract. Recommended broadband speed, 25 megabits per second. Trial available to new Sky TV customers only. 18 plus. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after 12 and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour is upon us. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. It's very straightforward, but surprisingly fun, and also illuminating. It involves you ringing in with a mystery, a question to which you know there is almost certainly an answer, but you're dashed if you can work out what it is. You may have put some effort into trying to find out. You may have put precisely zero effort into trying to find out. The point is that there is a space, there is an answer-shaped space in your life that somebody else will be able to fill. And they fill it, of course, by dialing 03456060973. The best contribution, and the management's decision is final, and the management is me, the best contribution of the hour receives a brand spanking new Mystery Hour board game. Soon to be seen at the Toy Fair, the Toy and Game Fair at Olympia in January, where I will be holding Stephen Mulhern's jacket as people pose for him with selfies. The terms and conditions are at the website. I always forget that bit. It's a proper grown-up competition, this, with terms and conditions. And if you want to find out more about the ball game, you can go to mysteryhour.co.uk, where you can buy it and enjoy hours and hours and hours of family fun. I think that's pretty much it. We'll probably just crack on, shall we? I think. I'll just read this quickly, which came in. I was about to say Sally. It came in from Sally, but the word is actually sadly. So whoever wrote this wrote, "I would have thought lockdown would have made society more compassionate and self-aware. It seems to be the opposite, sadly. I thought that furlough would make people more sympathetic to the welfare state. I thought that realising that the government does have to help people when they're in a bit of bother would actually change the political nature of those sort of conversations, or the emotional nature of those political conversations." Shows what I know, doesn't it? We had a caller in the last hour saying that people are abusing pub staff on the grounds that we paid your wages during lockdown, we paid your furlough. So there it is. Let's crack straight on. James is in Haywards Heath. James, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
At secondary school, I got sent out of my physics lesson for asking this question because my physics teacher thought I was making it up.
Oh.
So hopefully you don't do the same. When a car accelerates and you're looking at the wheels, so the alloy wheels,
yes,
they go forward, as you'd expect, but at one point, at a certain speed, they appear to go backwards.
Yes.
And I wanted to know why that was.
I think I know. I also think you probably won't accept my answer. But... I'll try. It's because of the speed with which your brain can process what's coming through your eyes.
Okay.
So think of it.
Go on.
Well, think of like snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
So if your brain was processing the snaps as quickly as the wheel was turning, then it would constantly be moving forward. But when you're only getting one snap in five, then you can have an appearance of going backwards.
Okay. You're right. I don't really get it, but that's probably down to me.
Let me try again while drawing a diagram in the studio that I will endeavour to describe to you. So here are, let's say, 10 pictures of a 12, because then you can imagine a clock.
Clock face, yeah.
So 12 pictures of a clock face.
Mm-hmm.
And you are only seeing 12 and 7.
Okay.
So because 7 is more than halfway round, it looks like it's got, or 12 and 5 might work better, but whatever works better for you, it looks like it's going backwards, not forwards.
And then it reverts back to going forwards again.
When it slows down and your brain is processing it better again.
See, I think it does it, it's only for a period of time, and then it goes back to looking like it's forwards.
Well, there's no guarantee that it would look like it was going backwards, is there? Because you're seeing 2 out of 10 snapshots, and they could convey the image that it's going forwards. But in some circumstances, because you're not seeing all of the snapshots, it will appear to be going backwards.
Okay. I wish he'd at least endeavoured rather than sending me out of the room, but I'm delighted you've at least...
Well, I mean, I think it was a valid question. I mean, he probably thought you were being mischievous. And let's be honest, James, there was probably some history there, mate. I doubt that he was making that decision entirely in the moment. There was probably some context, a little bit of history, a little bit of reasoning. Yes, but I'm not going to take the round of applause because someone else will be able to explain it better than I can. And given that you've been
for years,
given that you've been waiting all these years for your answer, I will make sure you get something of a slightly higher calibre than I have been able to provide. James is in Malaga. James, what would you go? Question or answer?
Question, James.
Two Jameses. So that's three James. James in Croydon. James. No, we've got another James up next. James in Croydon. Are you there? Oh, that's John. Where did I get the other James from then? But never mind. Malaga. Sorry. I think I'm having a bit of a moment today. I don't know what's going on. James in Malaga, question or answer?
It's a question. Yes. And my question is why is champagne the drink of celebration?
Cost? Yeah. I really appreciate the power of your response there. That was a lovely choice. Cost? Yeah, of course it is.
And
froth, you know, you can shake it up, baby, and get a nice...
But someone somewhere along the line or some decided that it was going to be the drink of celebration. It's not... That's why,
But it's a celebration, so get me the finest wine. Get me the finest wines known to man, and the finest wines known to man for a long time were the fizzy ones because they were much harder to produce and therefore more expensive. And therefore, when it's a special occasion, we'll get the champagne in.
Well, I don't think Dom Perignon was thinking that myself.
What do you think he was thinking?
I do know is that I think he got the idea of making champagne from cider, but I know to say it that way. I don't know. I don't know why it is a drink of celebration. I know there's cultures that don't drink, but invariably when there's a wedding or
champagne. But why are you rejecting my theory? It is only a theory. I've realised that because the board game, James, depends upon wrong answers, I have to start trying to answer all the questions again, even though I may get it wrong. So I have to put up answers that then turn out to be wrong. But on this occasion, I think it must be right. What other reason could there be?
Well, there's more affordable champagnes than, say, the high-end brands. You know, you can get
that's true.
Own brands from...
Maybe so it's the pop, then. It's the pop of the cork. It's the celebratory nature of the popping cork like a firework.
But cider does the same, doesn't it?
James... There is nothing to stop you celebrating major milestones in your life with cider, mate. It's not a rule.
No,
because you're sounding a little. You're sounding a bit aggrieved now.
Champagne.
You're sounding a bit aggrieved now on behalf of cider.
Yes, but it is. I have heard the term "poor man champagne" is cider.
Cider.
A few songs, and wasn't there a Lily Allen song where she said to her, I think so.
There might have been. All right, I'll put it on the board. Why champagne for the special occasions?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Are you on holiday in Malaga, or do you live there?
We do live here, yes.
Not retired or working or?
Sort of semi-retired, really. And it's incredibly hot, as enjoyable as people think it is.
No, in fact, there are some stories in town today about future holidays being possibly moving a further north in Europe, sort of Belgium and Poland becoming holiday destinations because we're not really built for the levels of heat that southern Europe is getting at the moment. But stay safe, James. 12 after 12 is the time. John's in Croydon. John, question or answer?
question, James.
Carry on.
Why do moles accumulate more hair or regularly accumulate hair? So say, for example, if it's on your arm, yeah. even though it might be hair there already, it'll be more sort of dense and thick, the hair on the mole, for example. Why is that?
I presume that it's the same reason you've got a mole. So there must be something to do with melanin and hair. Melanin must be like hair fertilizer, John.
This is part of your having to answer more questions for the board game, isn't it, James?
Yes, it is, John.
Can we put it on there for an expert to answer? It's been rattling my brain.
Could we spend 40 seconds or so actually just sort of paying a bit of respect to my suggestion or not?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
That sounds feasible, James. Yeah,
it does. Something is happening in your skin that creates a mole, and something is happening in your skin that creates hairs in the same place as the mole, ergo, it's probably the same thing in your skin. And the thing that creates the mole is the melanin, which leads me inexorably to the conclusion that the melanin is also having an impact upon the hair follicle production.
Very well done, James. Brilliant.
Thank you. I mean, it's a good answer, right?
This is why you get the big bucks, mate.
It is why I get the big bucks. Well, I've got a whole game named after me. But I'm not going to take a round of applause at this point, John, because I sense that you'd be quite offended if I did.
Let down rather than offended. But
yeah, I don't want to let you down, John. I don't want to let
you
down.
Thank you,
James. No, that's all right. It's on the board. Why do you get hairy moles? 0345 6060 973. Why is champagne the tipple of choice for celebrations? And why, when you look at wheels turning, do they often appear to be going backwards? And I'm fairly confident that the answers I've given to all three of those questions are wrong. But that's the nature of mystery, you see. 12:15 is the time. The number you need to answer any of those, or indeed to pose a question of your own, is 0345 6060 973.
Much like you, I've got a lot to complain about. Like open-toe sandals. Who thought that was a good idea? Who wants to look at toes? Adults who drink squash. Listen, you're a fully grown person. But I just got my Sky broadband and I've got no complaints.
Once again, Sky had the lowest number of complaints made to Ofcom for fixed line broadband. To find out more, visit ofcom.org.uk. We're happy because you're happy.
Oh, hang on though. Noisy eaters. They're annoying.
Sky. Believe in better.
Here's one for you. What do you get if you cross the Irish Sea with Irish Ferries? Sorry, folks, this is actually not a joke. Because the answer is, you get to Ireland relaxed and ready to holiday. Freedom to explore. Get lost on the back roads. A boot full of goodies. Hello, duty free. And no kidding, a truly warm welcome aboard. You can even bring the whole gang. Book early at irishferries.com and see travel differently. Terms and conditions apply.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973.
It's 16 minutes after 12. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Lots of nice questions in place. I like this from Terry. I've just bought tickets to your Manchester gig, James, and tickets two nights later to watch Metallica for an anniversary present. What strange bedfellows. Well, I don't think so, frankly, Terry. I think that, you know, a night with me in Manchester, talking about my new book in November, followed by a night with Metallica, I think that's called covering all the bases rather than strange bedfellows. You know, you're nourishing different parts of your cultural appetites. 17 after 12 is the time. Harry is in Tamworth. Question or answer, Harry?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Harry.
Okay, so after a sweaty night's sleep, which hasn't happened very often this summer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
When I wake up, my left armpit smells worse than the right armpit. Okay, and I know it's a small sample size because my girlfriend didn't believe me, but then she woke up the other day and she also performed a sniff test on her, which was verified pretty disgustingly by myself.
Okay.
And her left armpit also smelt worse than the right. And I want to know why.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you spoon?
Spoon? Yeah, but I'm the little spoon.
Well, I didn't need that extra detail, but when you...
I mean, you can picture it if you like.
I am. She's a big girl, is she?
No.
I know. But do you spoon in the same direction every night?
No.
Are you sure? Do you have a favoured direction for spooning?
It's hard to say because we don't live together at the moment, so we kind of, you know.
But you've only conducted these experiments when you have spent the night together.
I would say that I've also conducted the experiment on my own as well.
Oh, I see. All right.
It's something which I came up with a few weeks ago.
That doesn't undo my slowly germinating theory, which is that you favour one side when you're sleeping.
Yeah, I suppose I could do more research and see whether it is just after sleep or whether, you know, going to the gym or something.
Oh, I thought it was. I beg your pardon. I thought it was just a morning thing that we'd established so far.
I've only done the sniff test in the morning.
I think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be the ventilation issue. Or something. I mean, it could be the other way around, but the side you sleep on is going to have a different armpit result than the side that you're not sleeping on, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, it could. But I'd say I sleep in many different positions. But then again, I suppose in my sleep I probably default to one. But could it be circulation?
I don't know. I don't know that this answer is one that admits a definitive answer. I like it. I tell you what, though, I don't know whether this will come as a shock to you, Harry. You're getting a lot of solidarity for being the male little spoon. I had no idea there was such a large community. David says male little spoon pride.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, there it is. I shall have to experiment.
I wonder how many people around the nation are sniffing their armpits right now.
Well, I don't know that. It's one way of establishing whether you've got this new strain of COVID or not, I suppose. But you shouldn't really have smelly armpits at all in normal circulation. Like now, I'm sitting in a studio. I think it's probably going to be a morning thing rather than a post-exercise thing. But I will put, why does Harry's left armpit smell more strongly than his right armpit? All right?
I hope it's not just me.
we'll find out. Well, I don't know. It might be just you that's checked. Why would you check?
Well, you got to check these things, you know.
No, you don't. Why would you check? What did you think? Did you sort of think, gosh, you turned your head slightly and noticed a change in atmosphere and thought, gosh, that's odd. I seem to be smelling a little bit more when I face this way. Then you went in, or why would you do it?
Quite possibly. It's something that I noticed quite a while ago. So yes. I can't quite pinpoint the exact moment when I realised, but I just thought of it the other day when I was listening to to Mystery Hour last week, and I thought that would be a great question.
That is a mystery, you thought to yourself, and here you are. Here you are. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, Harry. I'm surprised you got past the quality control that is supposed to be in place, but I'm glad you did.
Well, maybe the producers have the same symptoms. Maybe they want to find out too.
I don't want to think about that, mate. But I will. Why is Harry's left armpit smellier than his right armpit? As far as we know, after sleeping. Okay. Louise is in Aberdeen. Louise, question or answer?
Question, James, please.
Carry on.
Years ago, we used to take our four kids camping to France with all our camping equipment and stay on small campsites.
Oh, lordy.
I know, it was great. Absolutely brilliant. You know, we get Stonehaven, are we there yet? However, on some of the campsites, there would be mice, and you would see them come up, you know, through the floor of the tent.
Okay, what, field mice?
Field mice.
Yeah,
field
okay.
Mice.
Yeah,
well,
that's
I hope
nice.
They were. So we would speak to the campsite owner, and this happened on maybe three or four different campsites, and they always said the same thing, which was, where you get mice, you don't get rats.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to know whether that's true or whether it's only true in France.
Well, I think that we may have a category error here, because I think that would be referring to domiciles, to buildings.
Ah.
Because there's no way that an entire French meadow could be rat-free as a consequence of there being two dormice in it, is there?
Well, I think there were more than that. I mean, the mice that we had in various campsites were fairly prolific.
And did you ever see a rat?
I never saw a rat.
But it's an indoor-outdoor thing as well. So it's, albeit that it's a campsite, it's an outdoor environment.
I mean, they would have buildings or, you know, toilet blocks and places
We want to examine the broad claim that, where there are mice, there aren't rats. But I don't. I think it is usually talking about, so a pest control person might say, if you get them to come and look at some droppings, they say, well, that's mice droppings. But the good news is, if you've got mice, you haven't got rats. I don't think they'd say that in a field.
Okay.
But I'm going to put it out to the experts.
Thank you very much, James.
No, thank you very much. Do you have more enjoyable holidays now, I hope, Louise?
I have lots of enjoyable holidays, but, you know, the camping ones were great because the
serious?
Kids met other kids.
Oh, brilliant. That's true.
They were brilliant.
You did have a sort of built-in social life, and that meant that the mum and dad got a little bit more time.
The kids were happy. They made up a language called Frankeldeutsch. And, you know, they just all had an absolutely brilliant time. And if you cooked bacon in the morning, you could upset a whole campsite.
Yes, I can imagine. Or delight, or create envy, I suppose. Thank you, Louise. Mice and rats, is it true? If you've got mice, you can't get rats. What's the truth of that? Lots of pest control experts listen to this programme, so no doubt we'll get to the bottom of it. Why does Harry's left armpit smell worse than his right armpit? Why does John have hairy moles? That's a more general question. Hopefully they both are, otherwise it'd be a bit weird. Why do we use champagne for celebrations, and why does it sometimes look like wheels are going backwards? Ah, thank goodness for that. The grown-ups have arrived. Professor Howell is in Brighton. It's going to be the wheels question.
It is, yeah. For the second time, I posit.
I know, but I think we've been doing it so long now, we don't need to be embarrassed about repetition or possibly how point it out at all.
No, but it's a nice question.
It is a nice question.
There's lots and lots of science going on.
Yeah.
And you're not going to like this.
No.
No, you're not going to like this.
What?
I think that the OP, the original contributor, I think they think they've seen in the street aloe wheels looking like they're going backwards, but they haven't. They've seen it on film, on TV.
That was it, yes.
No, and I'll explain why.
Yes, no, that was it. That's what I forgot. You're right. You're exactly right. Go on.
Right, so the TV thing is called the cartwheel effect, and it's most noticeable in 1940s westerns when the cartwheels were going round, but they weren't going round as quickly as the frame rate of the film.
That was it, yeah.
And therefore, each time the next frame comes up, the cartwheel hasn't quite caught up, so it appears to be going backwards. Now, I think I got pulled up on Twitter about this because someone said, oh, no, I hang around Red Hill Aerodrome. And as you might imagine, a chap like me looks at helicopters and propellers and asks science questions. And they absolutely go round and then they blur into a single disc. And there's two bits of evidence for this. Because if people say, oh, no, absolutely, there's two things. You know the colour wheel thing? You spin a colour wheel and it ends up looking white.
Yes.
We don't see the colour wheel going backwards. At some point, our eyes just say, you know what?
Can't it's be all dealing with this. I can't be dealing with this, say your eyes. Your eyes say.
Yeah. But the second one is, it's a really lovely thing on trains. If you look into someone's eyes across the
look
table
into my
and
eyes,
train.
Look into my eyes.
Now look and you look at their eyes and they're looking at the window. You see their eyes jerking back to make, you don't notice you're doing it, but their eyes jerk back. It's called nystagmus.
Yes.
And it's a way that we can stitch together a series of pictures to make it into one continuous vista. Now don't do it to someone you don't know because they'll think that's a bit strange, but next time you're on the train with Mrs. O'Brien, for example, look into her eyes as she looks out the window and you'll see them jerking faster than you can imagine. So it is about frame rates, as you've said, and you can sort of, you have to sit down and work it out. That
they'd have to be facing the engine for that to happen, I think.
Well, if they look out at right angles to the direction of travel.
Oh, okay, right angles is fine, okay.
Looking at the houses or the fields, whatever, passing, your eyes keep flicking back to the previous scene, and it's so interesting. I'm sure it's on YouTube, but it's much more relevant if you see someone doing it. It's very, very interesting. That's called nystagmus, the rapidly jerking eyes. And if you want to work out the kind of frame thing, just imagine there's a propeller pointing at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
As the next frame comes up, the propeller tries to get back to 12 o'clock, but it makes it only to, let's say, 11 o'clock.
Yes.
And then the next frame, 10 o'clock, it appears to be going backwards because it's not coinciding with the frames. And if the frame is exactly the same frequency as the propeller, it'll appear to be absolutely motionless. And on YouTube, there's some videos of helicopters apparently having a motionless rotor because the frame rate's exactly the same.
Wow. That's a characteristically brilliant answer. I zoned out would be the wrong way of putting it. I was a bit blinded by science about two-thirds of the way through.
Okay.
So from Richard's point of view, do you think it's almost impossible that he's seen this happening with wheels not on film?
Yes.
Yes, that's fine. I just wanted to clarify that. So do I now, but there it is. So, I mean, marks out of 10 for my answer?
No, we're looking at a mid-7, I think. I think you had it absolutely right, bar the fact that it's not your eyes that do it. It's about
the flipping camera, rate. Isn't it? It's the flipping camera, yeah, there it is. Qualifications?
For the time being, I'm Professor of Public Understanding at the University of Brighton.
Why for the time being?
Brighton's been in the news recently, my good chap, and we've had some... There's blood on the floor, I'm afraid to say, that we're having some redundancies and...
Are you moving on?
Yes, it would appear so.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but you know that you're brilliant and you'll bounce back and find a new berth imminently, Professor.
It is. I'm very stoic about it and it's quite exciting. I've been here for 28 years, so there's a lot going on.
Well, I wish you all the very best and you will never be redundant in Mystery Hour, Hal.
Well, what a lovely thing to say, James.
Well, I'm glad you think so. I'm sorry to hear your news. I should perhaps have been across it sooner. So you take care and enjoy in the meantime your first, the first round of applause of the day, but it's about Hal's millionth. And there it is. Have you got a board game, Hal?
I haven't, no.
You've just moved into the lead for this week's competition, although I can't, obviously, I you know, who knows where it will end. Who knows? It's coming up to 12:30, so we've still got the champagne question, the hairy moles, the smelly armpits. This sounds like a punk festival, doesn't it? The hairy moles, the smelly armpits, and the rats and mice. The rats and the mice. Yeah, there it is. It's a blooming punk. And speaking of punk, I just want to pay a little brief tribute, if I may, to Jamie Reed, who's a brilliant artist. You'll be familiar with his work, his collage work for the Sex Pistols, the God Save the Queen album cover for the Sex Pistols being possibly his most famous image. But he passed away yesterday, it was announced, and it suddenly occurred to me that having just listed questions that sound very like the lineup at a punk festival, it would be quite a good moment to hope that Jamie Reed rests in peace. 76 years old. Lovely obituary in The Guardian today that you might want to read. Artist and graphic designer whose work for the Sex Pistols was a central pillar of the punk aesthetic. 12:30 is the time. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
Sometimes running a business can feel like cycling uphill with square wheels. But Xero Online Accounting Software can help predict the future cash flow of your business, so you can stay one step ahead. Soon it'll feel more like freewheeling downhill.
Woohoo!
On a tandem.
All right, mate.
With a masseur on the back.
Oh, that's nice.
Search Xero with an X, because healthy business is beautiful business.
TNT Sports is here for fans like you who walk the talk. You know Brentford's much more than a bus stop in Hounslow. You hope the cherries will blossom this season. You reckon the Blades will cut the big boys down to size. And you dream that Spurs will stop being, well, Spursy. We get it, because this isn't just football. It's early doors, pre-game pies, post-match pints, matchday rituals. It's everything. Watch the Premier League and UEFA Champions League live on TNT Sports.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It is 12:33. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour continues. I'll remind you of the questions that still need answers in a minute, but let's crack on first. Terry's in Bexley. Terry, question or answer?
It's a question, James. Something that keeps me awake at night and wondering, and you can probably cast some light on this. It relates to your good self. Now, the O as in O'Brien,
yes.
My Irish neighbour tells me it's to express surprise. Now, I'm not sure that...
He's yanking your chain, as I'm sure you know.
Well, I wondered...
I love that.
It does seem to be only from Ireland, and I'm curious. I'm sure you know the answer to this, but when he told me it was to express surprise, I thought, yes, that's hilarious, but how can that be true? But then he's from Waterford, and they've got great sense of humour there, and I guess maybe it could be true.
Well, you've opened a minefield, actually, or rather you've opened a Pandora's box. You can't open a minefield, because, I mean, you've got, there's a colonial element to this conversation, that there's controversy. It wasn't originally, I know this, the answer basically is descendant of, so both O and Mac. Both denote, for Irish people, both denote descendant of. Or, so
I see.
It would be so for Brian's. It's usually believed to be Brian Boru, who was a sort of king of Ireland. But it would be clan leaders. So O'Neill, O'Keefe, O'Shaughnessy, all of those. But originally, it wouldn't have been an apostrophe. I do know the name of what it would have been. It was a sort of little mark above above the O. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I think it's a fada, yeah. F-A-D-A. And when the English started killing us all for fun, they wanted to change our names. They wanted to anglicise our name. So they got rid of the fada, and they often got rid of the Mac. But some of us kept an apostrophe instead. So the apostrophe is best understood as an anglicised fada. And yet, to answer your original question, the O is descendant of.
Well, that seems the description you've got is obviously correct, but it seems a bit dark and a bit sad. So I'm happier to keep continue to think it means to express surprise.
Then you'd need an H rather than an apostrophe, which is
no, because it's a silent H, isn't it?
It's also a name I go by occasionally. it's not. I mean, the bit about the anglicisation and the colonial oppression is sad, but the bit about descendant of, denoting descendant of, is.
Yeah,
it's the same for app in Wales. So app Gwynedd.
So
you live and learn, eh?
I've learned something today.
And I've got my first round of applause. Thank you, Terry.
You're very welcome.
Lovely stuff. 12:37. Okay. Cheers, Terry. Take care. James is in Brentwood. James, what would you like to say? I mean, question or answer. I got confused because Terry was still talking. I never get that wrong. Question or answer, James.
Answer, please.
Carry on.
To the mice and rats.
Yes.
Generally, they won't be in the same area, but they can infest the same building.
Go on, tell me more.
So, for example, you could have rats underneath your kitchen cupboards, and you could get mice lost. But generally, you don't get them in the same area because the rats will eat the mice.
It's that simple. So it's not like the mice keep the rats away. It's that the rats eat the mice.
Yeah, that's essentially the long and short of it.
So on Louise's French campsite, where there were lots of mice, just the rats hadn't turned up.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they probably wouldn't because, I mean, all you need, because there's no permanent residences there. So rats are going to be either in a building or near a railway line or a river or, I mean, what are you looking? I presume you're in pest control, are you, James?
Yeah, I've just set up on my own this year, actually, but I've been doing it for 5 years.
All right, I'll give you an advert in a minute if you want one. But in the meantime, what are we looking? So a rat, do they want different habitats?
A rat will need a higher amount of water, so they need more water than they do food, whereas mice can actually survive without water as long as the food content's above 16% moisture.
That's a great answer, and that does explain why you would not have them in Louise's campsite. The rats.
Unless there's a water source around.
Unless there was a pond or a lake nearby, in which case...
Very
often you see rats. Near watercourses, near canals, and
exactly that. Yeah.
Qualifications?
I've got a bachelor's in environmental science and a master's in post-harvest technology.
Post-harvest technology.
Yeah, it's essentially just like food security, global logistics of food security.
Fantastic. What's the business called?
Mitchell Environmental Solutions.
Mitchell Environmental Solutions, and how's it going?
It's going all right, actually. Still got room for a lot more work.
Of course you have. Well, hopefully we'll push some your way. And you're based in Brentwood, are you?
Yeah, I cover Essex and London.
So if you're looking for someone to advise on pest control in general, I mean, what do you do? Do you do everything? Mice, rats, foxes, squirrels?
Yeah, mice, rats, foxes, moths, wasps, bees, beetles, birds.
Squirrels?
Squirrels, yeah. I've had a few squirrel jobs.
I'm sorry, I've had a lot of experience with pest control. You know, I've had...
Bees. That's because you live in London, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but no, the bees was bees was in a sort of outbuilding.
Oh, okay.
Foxes.
Yeah, there's rats. A lot of foxes around. I quite like foxes. They keep the rats away.
Do you think foxes do keep rats away? Is that a thing?
They will actively hunt them, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. Fox, bees, had squirrels in the loft. That's a weird one because you think you've got no idea. That noise is bizarre, right? And then they'll come back again. They'll come. They'll nibble their way back in again if you're not careful. They can do all sorts of damage.
Yeah, their teeth are actually strong enough to chew through concrete and steel. Same for mice and rats.
You know your stuff. I think that's my lot. I don't. What's the most exotic thing you've been called out for or unexpected?
Probably a gecko. But don't tend to get geckos over here.
But why would that be a pest? Or is it just lost and they wanted your help finding it?
It was at a supermarket where I used to work, and they just probably, I think they changed something to do with the fumigation process of their vegetation, their veggies. And it just kind of.
A gecko found. An escaped gecko came in. Well, it had probably come in on the produce, had it?
Yeah. I think it was on the bananas.
Well, you live and learn, eh?
lots of spiders and things coming in on bananas as well, but that gets a little bit hairy.
Have you got a website?
It's MitchellEnvironmentalSolutions.co.uk.
There you go.
It's pretty basic.
No, mate, you don't want to mess around with that. You don't want to be faffing about with it. You've got an environmental problem. It needs a solution. Mitchell's your man. MitchellEnvironmentalSolutions.co.uk. There you go.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. I wish you well with that, James. I really
you
do.
Too.
You take care.
Thank you very much.
And good luck. 12:41 is the time. 034. So if you're in, Essex or London, and you're just thinking, oh, I need one of those. I just wanted someone over there. There you go. Get yourself on there now. Ross is in Melrose. Ross, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Bit background. Remember back in the winter time when we were looking cost of living crisis, being told to maybe turn the thermostat down a degree or two.
Yes.
And, in glorious times, I like a 21. You know, living the dream.
Yeah.
But and maybe get it down to 19. But that's as far as I was willing to go. I don't think I'd go down to 18.
Right.
However. It was 18 degrees in Scotland yesterday, and there's people wandering about with their tops off.
Yeah.
So why does temperature feel different when it's the same?
Well, it's probably not, is it?
Well, I mean, it is if you look at a thermostat or a thermometer.
Yeah, but it's probably not the same, if you see what I mean.
Nope.
Well, nor do I, actually, but it can't, but it can't be, can it?
Well, that hence why I'm phoning you. I don't want to Google it, but... You know, even at 19 or 20 degrees in the winter, you'd have, you know, a jumper on, maybe your house gilet. But, you know, it's 18 degrees here today and I'm in shorts and sleeves rolled up. So
yeah, all right.
It's the same temperature.
Yeah, so in your house, that degree centigrade would be quite cold, but when you're out and about, it's quite hot. What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that question. I thank you. I'll try and get an answer, Ross. That's the point, isn't it? 03456060973 if you know the answer to that. Fodder, I'm being told, is how I should have pronounced that. I did so well on that answer about O's and Irish names as well, but fodder. I don't have any Irish at all. The only Irish phrases I know are rude and I can't say them on the radio. 12:43 is the time. Cindy's in Alicante. That's the second Spanish caller of the hour. Question or answer, Cindy?
Question, James.
Carry on.
Okay, so I've got quite long hair.
Right.
And the hair that's still attached to my head, when it touches my shoulder, doesn't irritate me.
Yeah.
But as soon as the hair becomes loose and it lands on my shoulder, I have to get rid of it. It's like having a mosquito or a fly or something land on me.
Yeah. But
yes?
Just thinking. I'm never presumptuous enough to come in quickly on it. But you never have.
Okay.
You never have a lone hair resting on your shoulder, do you?
I do, yes.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Don't be silly.
I do. If a hair becomes loose. If hair becomes loose, it just sticks to my skin.
No, I don't know. I mean a lone attached hair.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Well, do you think that would be the difference?
Yeah. Absolutely certain of it.
If it's a lot of hair, it wouldn't irritate me.
Well, because it's not got the feather. So a lone unattached hair is tickling you like a feather, isn't it? But if it was a sort of ponytail type scenario, then it's not going to tickle you like a feather. It's too heavy to do that tickling type thing.
I don't know, but
this
irritating.
Is a brilliant answer.
Tickling.
It is. Well, no, it's not. It is actually tickling. It's just perhaps a different kind because the hair is a bit different texture to the feather. But it is. It's the lightness of the individual unattached hair that is causing the irritation. And if you if it was still attached to your head, then it would not be. If you could somehow, I don't know if you want to do this now. If you could some if you could somehow separate a single hair still attached to your head,
yeah,
just a single one, and then sort of tickle your shoulder with it, then I bet you get the same sort of effect. What's happened now? I think you've dropped your phone because you're trying to pick a hair out the side of your head. No, phone's gone funny. I think I've answered your question, but I will respectfully leave it on the board. Why is a single hair? Well, I don't. I think it is that, but we lost the phone line then. I hope that wasn't my fault for asking her to contort herself in pursuit of a single hair. 12:45 is the time.
It's almost kick-off. I'm getting Subway delivered on Just Eat.
Oh, yes, please.
OK, but the game starts in a minute, right? So just pick something off the new series menu.
No, no, I know exactly what I want.
Oh, no.
Do I want olives?
And so it begins. He hates olives.
Actually, I hate olives.
Order off the menu, Joel. So simple.
Does mayo go with salami?
Never mind. I'll hit record.
Create your own or choose from the new series menu. There's now two ways to Subway. Which way are you? Delivery available in select areas.
Say goodbye to the dish and hello to Sky Stream, the streaming box that works over Wi-Fi. It's the new way to get unmissable Sky shows, Netflix and Discovery Plus together in one simple subscription. And right now, you can get all this amazing TV with a 1 month free trial on us. Sky Stream. TV simplified. Head to sky.com to start your trial. Requires Sky TV and third-party subscriptions. £29 per month for month 2 on a rolling contract. Recommended broadband speed, 25 megabits per second. Trial available to new Sky TV customers only. 18 plus. Terms apply.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It's 12:49 already. Questions that still need answers include, why we drink champagne when we're celebrating? I thought this one would be quite easy. Even if I got it right, you, I've left it on the board, so you can ring in and get the round of applause and, of course, entry into the competition to win a Mystery Hour board game. But why do hairs grow out of moles? Why is the part of your skin where a mole is hairier than the rest of it? That's for John in Croydon. Harry wants to know why one armpit is smellier than the other in the morning. Again, I think it's probably because he's laying on one side. But if anyone, I mean, what qualifications would you need to go definitive on that? That one may stay unanswered. Why the temperature, when they say it's 18 degrees outside and you think, oh, I won't take a coat. But then when it's cold inside and you turn your thermostat on, 18 degrees wouldn't touch the sides. What's going on there? And Cindy's hair. Why does a lone hair irritate her, but a hair still attached to her head does not? Well, we'll find out. Paul's in Swansea. Paul, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
Champagne is linked to a celebration because the French kings were coronated in Reims back in the 12th century.
Right.
And they invited the British aristocrats and kings. And then they thought, oh, this is quite nice. So they imported it back to the UK. And then that's why it was linked to celebration.
Well, that's a lovely answer. In fact, probably not even importing it back to the UK, but for quite a long period of time, the links between the English monarchy and the French monarchy were so close that they'd have just done the same thing. They'd have said, "Well, we must have champagne. We are celebrating."
That's it. That's the answer.
So they did it. Qualifications?
I've worked in hospitality all my working life, and I went to many champagne tasting sessions. And the salesman for Veuve Clicquot said, it should not be linked to celebration, but an everyday drink. So I said to him, why was it linked to celebrations? And then that's what he told me.
That's interesting. I mean, it's sound business sense from your Veuve Clicquot fella, isn't it? Because the last thing you want is to be flogging something that you only have on high days and holidays.
Exactly.
And they did. I mean, that is a lovely answer, Paul. It's got you a round of applause.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. I'll remember that as well now, because that is one of those things that can pop up in all sorts of... What did I say it was? Just the cost. So I was completely wrong. Not for the first time, and almost certainly not for the last. Completely wrong. And indeed, as James who asked the question pointed out, it's not the most expensive. You could drop, you get a bottle of champagne for 50 quid. You can get a bottle of normal wine, non-fizzy wine, for 200 quid or 2,000 quid. Thank you, Paul. Steve's in Basingstoke. Steve, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Right, I'm answering the question about why it feels hotter outside than in your own home. sometimes. So, and the answer is quite simple. If it's a bright day outside, you've got the sun's radiant heat
yes.
that warms you up. Yes. And the radiant temperature can be significantly higher than the air temperature.
Right.
And that's so there are two different types
of temperature.
But
when they say that today it's 18 degrees outside, what are they taking there?
That's the what we call the dry bulb temperature. So it's the air temperature rather than the radiant heat that's striking.
No, I understand that. But then I come into my house and I set my thermostat to 18 and I'm not warm at all.
That's right, because you've lost that radiant heat from the sun, and it's just the air temperature you're feeling.
So even though it's 18 outside and 18 inside, it's just the sun that's making the difference.
It is, yes, yeah. It's the radiant heat from the sun that's striking you. So you can even feel hot. It could be t-shirt weather on a brisk, cold day if the sun is shining brightly.
Okay, I think I understand. So it could be 18. Without much sun, and you'd feel cold outside.
That's right. It could feel very cold outside. In fact, it could feel colder than 18 if with a wind chill.
Yeah.
But the air temperature, you can feel hot with the same air temperature or cold even.
Qualifications?
Well, I've run a small business called Window Treat, and it's we're like doctors for glass. So many of my customers suffer from overheating behind glass. It's making commercial environments, homes more comfortable, either too cold, too hot, whatever it might be.
Cool.
So we solve the puzzle for them.
Round of applause for Steve. 12:54 is the time. George is in Torquay. George, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Sweaty armpits.
Yeah.
I used to be, many years ago, the secretary of the West Country Arm Wrestling Association.
Congratulations.
We used to put on events at various regattas and fates.
Yes.
And it became evident to me that the amount of perspiration generated by armpits during the course of a contest could cause an atrocious amount of sweat and smell.
Yes.
I mean, if you've ever seen an event competition, you'll notice that the two contestants usually avert their heads away from the union of their two arms simply because of the enormous stink.
It's not because of the enormous stink.
Oh, it is. They're not grimacing
because of the smell, Joe. I mean, you could deodorise before a competition, couldn't you?
Well,
also, it's stale sweat.
They put chalk on their hands.
They
do.
They could put a bit of chalk on their armpits. It's stale sweat that smells, and you're in the middle of a bout. Is the bout the correct terminology, George?
But you have to remember that these events go on for quite a while.
Yeah, but it's fresh sweat, mate. It's gushing. Fresh sweat gushing from the pits.
We're talking about the West Country, my friend.
What's the longest bout you can remember?
Oh, these things the primary stage to the final could be about 2 hours.
But the longest individual contest, is there a time limit? Is it always to the death?
The best of three.
But is it always to the death, though? You're never going to get like a stalemate where the referee goes.
You had sometimes where they couldn't prevail, so they would.
Yeah.
They would
an impasse. And,
yeah, they would put that down as a draw, and then the deciding.
I'm fascinated by your history and arm wrestling etiquette in general.
Well, I've never taken part in arm wrestling myself.
You were just secretary of the association.
Well, I'm 5'2" and about, I'm only 5'2" and 7.5 stone.
You sound a lot bigger.
And I can assure you that my armpits are absolutely pristine.
I'm very glad. How did you get into that role then if you had no personal involvement in the sport?
Well, the same way that a coxswain gets to be on a rowing boat, I suppose.
Sort of, yes. I don't think you've provided us with an answer to the question of why one armpit would be smellier than another, though, after a night's
sleep.
Well,
simply because that's the armpit that's engaging in the physical effort. So I would suspect...
He's been asleep. He's asleep. He's not engaging in any physical effort. And remember, this is a family programme before you start exploring other possible theories.
I wasn't about to do that.
Yeah, but you laughed first, so I win. He's asleep. There's no physical activities at all.
Right. I had missed that point.
Yeah.
But I still maintain that the arm, your right arm, which you use
usually,
mostly,
your favorite,
will create more perspiration and hence more sweat.
I thank you. I'm not going to give you a round of applause, especially not now. I know you're only 5'7". I was quite intimidated earlier because your voice is so deep. But I'm a lot happier now. So no chance. There's nothing there that explains why Harry's left armpit smells worse than his right armpit. Are you going to write your memoirs, George?
I doubt it. It's just another one of my failed theories of life, I suppose.
It's just one chapter, mate. I don't want to put yourself down. I'd love to know more. Thank you, George. Paul's in Wexford. Question or answer?
Clarification, James.
Carry on, Paul.
In the Irish language, you're partially correct when you talk about your name being O'Brien.
Yes.
Being of the family of Brian.
Yes.
But the Mac is actually the son of.
Oh, is it? It specifies
a male son or daughter.
Of the line.
And, yeah. So you would have Mac for son, and then you would have Nick, N-I-C,
yeah,
who was the daughter of.
Okay.
So if you see somebody who's Mac Sweeney, and like we would just use Mac Sweeney in the anglicised version most of the time, but in Irish it would be Mac Sivnock, meaning the son of Sweeney, but it would also be Nick Sivnock, meaning the daughter of Sweeney. So it clarifies kind of male or female in terms of son or daughter of the clan of Sweeney.
And the O just means of...
The O means of the clan.
Right, not the child of, the direct
not child. It's not the child of, it's just of the clan of Brian.
Whereabouts in Wexford are you?
Just outside Wexford town.
Lovely. Qualification?
Southeast. Proud Irishman and European.
That'll do nicely. round of applause for Paul. And how do you pronounce that little diacritic mark above the O before the applause?
It's fodder, and what it does is fodder. Elongates the vowel.
Oh, not O, Obrien, Obrien.
No,
so O.
It elongates the vowel.
It's why I'm a Fogarty, not a Fogarty.
That's why she's a Fogarty, not a Fogarty.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Round of applause. He had his round of applause. Well done, Paul.
Yeah.
There we go.
No,
another
problem.
One.
Okay.
Lovely stuff.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad someone does. Crikey, I'm spoilt for choice today, but I'm going to have to give the Mr. Bourgain to Professor Howell because he shared that sad news about his tenure at Brighton University coming to a close. But it could have been Paul. It could have been, I guess James got a free advert, didn't he, for his Mitchell Environmental Services. It could have been almost anyone this week. It was a vintage Mr. Howell, which is appropriate because the second question was about champagne. Vintage? All right. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, Rewind Live Radio, or enjoy the whole show podcast. You'll also find all of LBC's shows to catch up on, as well as the world's biggest podcasts, including the Self-Contained Mystery Hour podcast. So there's loads of these that you can listen to in isolation. Rewind Live Radio on Global Player. Download it for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Ben Kentish with you at 4, standing in for Tom Swarbrick. But now it's time for Sheila Faux Not For a Good Tea.
Exactly.
We interrupt this track to inform you about selling your car the motorway way.
Ooh, what's the motorway way?
It's the sell your car from home way, whilst dealers compete to give you their best price way. Your car is even collected for free way.
No way.
Yes way. Now, where were we? Motorway, the way to sell your car. For T's and C's, visit motorway.co.uk.